外坤塔之音，服务员于聆听。各位尊敬的奉献者，大家早晨好。今天是2019年1月19日，星期六。我们非常荣幸的邀请到敬爱的 Satya Deva 帕布为我们讲述今天的圣典博加瓦坛的早课。感谢大家的聆听。Hare Krishna。
Good morning to all the devotees in China. Please accept my humble obeisances.
中国的奉献者们，大家早晨好，请你们接受我谦卑的礼拜。
Welcome to a Srimad Bhagavatam class on Saturday.
欢迎大家来参加星期六早上的瓦坛的早课。
So before class, according to our tradition, I will chant Jaya Radha Madhava.
然后在我们开始讲课之前，我们还是先按照传统来，一起来唱一下 Jaya Radha Madhava。
Jaya Radha Madhava.Punjabi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari Gopi Jana Balava Girivana Dari Gopi Jana Balava Girivana Dari Yasoda Nandana Brajadana Rajana Yasoda Nandana Brajadana Rajana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Rupi Jana Balava Girivana Dari Gopi Jana Balava Girivana Dari Yasoda Nandana Vrajajana Rajana Yasoda Nandana Vrajajana Rajana Yamuna Tira VanachariYamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Prabhupada 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 Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada 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 Jaya Prabhupada Jitai Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bol. Okay, so today we areReading Canto 6, Chapter 2, Ajamil, delivered by the Vishnu Dutas.
那么今天我们一起来阅读瓦坛的第六篇第二章 Vishnu 的使者拯救阿加米勒。
And we are reading, there are two verses combined together, verses 5 and 6.
然后我们今天要学习的这个是第五诗节和第六诗节合在一起的一个节。
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
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 So I'll read the Sanskrit.And we'll do the word-for-word translation and purport.
然后我们就一起来看一下梵文的一对字对字的这个翻译，然后译文和要旨。
Yasyam ke sira adhaya loka swapiti nirita Svayam dharmam adharmam va nahi virayata pasu sakatam nyarpita manam kita maitram achetana vishram banyo bhutanam sanghrino dagdum arhati yasya
一什么什么的
anke
在膝盖上
sira
头
adaya
至于
loka
一般大众
swapiti
睡觉
nirvita
平静的
swayam
亲自
dharmam
宗教原则或生命目标
adharmam
非宗教原则
va
或者
na
不
he
事实上
veda
知道
yata
正如
pasu
一个动物
sa
这样一个人
katam
如何
Nyarpita Atmanam
向完全归一的生物体
Krita Maitram
诚恳和友好的
Achetanam
带着不发达的意识愚昧的、
oh. Vishram Baniya
值得受到信任
Bhutanam
生物体的
Sagrina
拥有为众人着想的善心
Dagdum
制造痛苦
Arhati
能够
Translation and Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada People in general are not very advanced in knowledge by which to discriminate between religion and irreligion. The innocentUnenlightened citizen is like an ignorant animal sleeping in peace with his head on the lap of his master, faithfully believing in the master's protection. If a leader is actually kind-hearted and deserves to be the object of a living entity's faith, how can he punish or kill a foolish person who has fully surrenderedIn good faith and friendship.
译文，人民大众并没有很多能使其分清宗教与非宗教的高等知识。幼稚、愚钝的国民就像平静的头枕主人的膝盖头睡着的无知动物一样，完全相信主人给予的保护。如果一个领袖真有慈悲、心肠，值得得到生物体的信任，他怎么能惩罚或杀死忠心耿耿友好的全心投靠他的一个愚蠢之人呢 Shall I continue with preferred?
Yes, please.
Okay. 要指梵文 Vishvastagata 是指打破信心或破坏信任。人民应该在政府的保护下始终感到安全。因此如果一个政府破坏国民的信任为了政治方面的考量而使他们陷入困境就太令人遗憾了。我们实际看到在印度分裂的那段时间里尽管印度教徒和穆斯林教徒原本平静地住在一起但却在政治家们的操纵下突然产生彼此之间的憎恨和敌意结果因为政治而互相残杀。这些都是卡利年代的真相。在这个年代里动物被很好地养起来完全相信他们的主人会保护他们。但不幸的是他们一旦够肥胖便立刻被送到屠宰场去。像威士鲁的命令执行官那样的 Vaishnava 谴责这样残酷的做法。事实上经典已经描述过地狱正等着罪恶之人去那里为他们所犯的罪行承受痛苦。谁背叛那些真诚的怀着信心投靠自己的人或动物谁就是十恶不赦的。由于如今的政府不再惩罚这样的背叛整个人类社会受到严重的污染。正因为如此这个年代里的人被说成是懒惰喜欢争斗被误导不幸而且总是心烦意乱。罪恶的结果是人们受到谴责 他们的智力不洁净，他们很不幸，因此始终受许多问题的打扰，这是他们一生的处境，而死后他们就会在地狱中受到惩罚。 End of purport.
Thank you. Om Agena Tamirandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmay Shri Guruve Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Pastatya Deshatarane Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhattavinda Jai Rupa Shri Sanatan Bhakta Raguna Shri Jiva Gopala Bhakta Dasa Raguna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Pancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyeva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shrina Shringa Jaina Shringa Jaya Jaina Shringa Praladesha Jaya Padma Mukha Padma Bringam Om Shri Lakshmi Narasringaya Namaha. So the Vishnu Dutas are continuing their conversation with the Yama Dutas, and the Vishnu Dutas are speaking.
所以说 Vishnu Dutta 还继续跟 Yama Dutta 谈论着，就是继续着他们的谈话，然后他们接着说。
And in the last couple of verses, they're speaking about speaking about the responsibilities of a leader.
在之前的几个诗节当中，他们就一直在谈论着，就是作为一个领袖、一个领导者应具有的责任是什么。
So, if you're a leader, you might be a mother, a father, or a teacher, or a government official. The leader is responsible to protect those who depend on the leader. Excuse me. I got to get a drink of water.
古人要去喝口水，然后他咳嗽。所以古人刚才说的那句话就是，如果你是一位领袖领导者的话呢，就是一位权威人物，比如说是父亲或者是母亲，或者是一位老师，或者是政府的官员的话，那么你就肩膀上会承担起责任，要去保护那些依靠于你的人，依赖于你的人。
Sorry for the interruption.
It's okay. Take your time.
Okay, so yeah, so we as a leader, you know, you might be a teacher or a guru. Those who are under us, we have to protect.
所以说当我们是一位权威人物，比如说父母老师等等的话呢，就必须要去保护那些处于我们之下的那些人。
And the Yama Dutas, the Vishnu Dutas are criticizing the Yama Dutas here actually.
而在这个世界当中，实际上 Vishnu Dutta 正在批评 Yama Dutta。
Because they are also leaders. They're the representatives of Yamaraj as we have been discussing.
然后他们就说到亚玛都塔他们也是领导者，他们是代表这个阎罗王的 Yamaraj 的这些人，然后因此他们也是有这些职责所在的。
So last verse, the Vishnu Dutas were saying that a leader has to be very careful in the way they behave because whoever their subordinates are going to follow their behavior. So as a leader, we have to behave in a particular way that will actually help those that we are protecting.
Mm, OK， 所以在上一个诗节当中，实际上就是 Vishnudutta 就在说到，就是当一个人他是一个领导者，是一个领袖的时候，就非常要注意自己的言语和行动。然后因为他的下级、他的下属，然后就是依赖于他的人的话呢，都会去追随他的这个言行举止。然后因此的话呢，就是领导必须他们作为行动的一种方式，是要能够去保护、帮助就是属于依赖他们的这些人的这种方式才可以。
And Krishna says the same thing in Bhagavad Gita, and we discussed that last week.
并且 Krishna 在博迦梵歌当中也提到了同样的一点，我们在上个星期也谈到了这一点。
He said that common people always follow the leaders.
然后 Krishna 就说到普罗大众总是在追随着他们的领导。
He said, even though I'm God, I have to be careful how I behave because people will follow me.
然后 Krishna 也说到，就即便我是神，我也要非常注意自己的言行，注意自己的这个举止。然后因为的话呢，普罗大众是会追随我的这个行为的。
And he says, if I don't behave properly, if I don't behave according to the religious, rules, then people will follow my behavior.
然后他就说，如果我没有按照宗教原则来行事的话，那么普罗大众也会就是像我这样来行事。
So people will become irreligious.
然后这个时候人们普罗大众就会变得非宗教了。
Then they will exploit women.
然后这个时候人们就会去剥削女性。
And then there will be unwanted children.
然后就会有这个不想要的孩子的诞生。
And this will destroy society.
而这个就会破坏社会。
And Krishna says, ultimately, that will be my fault. I'll be responsible.
然后 Krishna 就说，那如果是这样的话，那最终来看就是我的错，那就是我应该为这样的一个结果、结局承担起责任。
So last verse, the Vishnudutas were stressing to the Yamadutas that because they're leaders, they have to behave properly.
因此在上一个世界当中 ,Vishnudutta 就在向 Yamadutta 强调这一点，就是你们作为领袖、作为领导的话，就必须要有恰当的举止和行动。
Now today's verse is a little bit different.
而今天的这个两个世界的话呢，是有点不太一样的。
The Vishnudutas are again making the point to the Yamadutas that they have to be careful because they are leaders.
然后在今天这个当中Vishnudutta 也再次的向 Yamadutta 提出这一点，就是你们必须要注意，必须要小心，因为你们是领导，是领袖。
They not only have a responsibility to behave religiously, but they also have a responsibility to protect the innocent.
然后他们不仅就是有这个职责要去以宗教的方式来言行举止，就是他们的行为是要是符合宗教法则的，然后并且的话呢，他们也有职责要去保护那些天真无辜的人。
So the leader, they are saying, if the leader does not protect their innocent followers, then this is very sinful.
然后因此这个世界就说到，如果领袖领导没有去保护这些无辜的国民的话呢，那么他们的这个行动，他们的言行实际上是非常罪恶的。
And so they will be guilty of breaking trust.
Guilty means they share the load of.
The guilty means that
charged they, with something.
Yeah, their mistake or, you know, the bad thing that they're doing, if they don't protect, then they will break the trust.
然后因此他们所承担起的这样一个罪责的话，那就是他们会打破国民、臣民对他们的信任。
Right, a child expects the parent to be there and to protect them.
比如说小孩子都期待自己的父母能够一直在身边来保护他们、喂养他们。
I always trusted my mother in this respect.
当说到这一点的时候，我就总是信任我妈妈原来就是这样来照顾着我的。
I was a naughty boy.
我小时候特别淘气嘛。
And sometimes in the neighborhood, I would do some mischief.
有时候在这个邻居的这个周围附近的话，我就会去做一些恶作剧的事情。
And the parents of the other children would come to my mother and complain about me.
然后其他小朋友的父母就会跑到我妈面前，然后来就是抱怨我，就说我做了坏事。
But my mother would always say, "No, no, my son could never do that. You must be wrong."
然后我妈妈就总是会对他们说，肯定不可能的，我的儿子是绝对不会做这种事情的。
So I always trusted that my mother would always back me up.
所以说我总是原来一直都信任我妈妈，会一直就是支援我，从后面保护我。
Yeah, so we, you know, the disciple trusts that the guru will give the proper teaching and also set the proper example and do whatever he says.
然后因此门徒的话总是信任他们的灵性导师能够给予他们恰当的教导，能够给予他们恰当的这样一个以身作则来言行一致。
If he doesn't do that, then he's breaking the trust.
而如果一个灵性导师没有做到这一点的话，那实际上他就打破了彼此之间的信任。
And this can have all kinds of negative consequences for the student.
而这个的话呢，就会给学生制造出许多这种消极负面的影响。
So there's a Sanskrit word for one who breaks trust.
所以说有这样一个梵文词，就是专门来形容这个打破信任的人。
Vishvastagata。
大家看的就是这个第一排当中的这个 Vishvastagata 这个词。
Right. I always trusted my father.
我总是原来一直都信任我的父亲。
Every day he went to work.
然后每天他当时都要去上班嘛。
No matter how he felt, he went to work.
无论他的身体或者是心情是怎样的一种状态，他反正都是要去上班的。
Yeah, my mother didn't work. She took care of the family.
不过我妈妈当时没有上班，她一直就是家庭主妇，在家里面照顾家人。
So we completely depended upon my father for food and money and shelter.
然后因此的话呢，我们整个一家全部都依赖我父亲一个人，就是他来就是养家糊口嘛，给我们提供食物、钱和这个住所。
And so we were not rich. I would say we were lower middle class.
然后我觉得当时我们那个家庭状况不能说算富裕，可能只属于那种中低层水平。
But I never lacked the bare necessities of life. They were all, I never felt that we didn't have enough.
但是我从来都没有觉得就是我们家里面好像就是短缺过什么这个吃的或者住的什么的，然后我从来都没有觉得就是自己从小就是缺衣少食的那种状况。
Yeah, so I trusted my father. I never had a doubt that we would always have enough.
然后因此的话，我曾经是完全相信我父亲的，我从来没有那么一丝一毫的怀疑、质疑，就是担心我爸爸没有办法能够把我们给养活。
Yeah, so, you know, I developed this trust by watching my father day after day go to work, and day after day we always had enough.
然后因此的话呢，我就是通过看到我父亲日复一日的去坚持上班，然后日复一日的就是给我们提供吃的和住的，然后食物这些，然后我就发展出了对他这种深切的信任。
Yeah, my father didn't even graduate from high school.
然后我爸爸原来是高中都没有毕业的。
He had a very rough life as a child. He was actually homeless.
he was actually homeless.
Yeah, for some time.
然后我爸爸他原来的那个就是人生经历还是相当有挑战的，就是他原来有段时间都是那种无家可归的流浪的那种状态。
Yeah, he was homeless and, you know, he didn't have an education, so he lied about his age and he went into the, into the military.
Oh, did he went to the First World War?
Second World War. Oh. But you were supposed to be 18, and I think he was like 16.
Oh, so he actually went to the Second World War.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh. 所以就我爸爸，大家就知道哈，我刚才说到的，就是他既没有就是高中毕业，然后完了以后有段时间还无家可归，然后所以说他就当时还谎报了他的年龄去参军了。然后我就问咕噜，就是他是不是你去参军过一战？然后咕噜说他参加的是二次世界大战。
Anyway, I never had a doubt about my mother or my father's protection, so there was trust.
那总之的话呢，就是我从来都没有质疑过，就是我父母对我的保护，那我总是完全信任他们的。
So I was very fortunate.
所以说我真的是非常幸运的。
Many children, their parents are alcoholics or they gamble, and the parents are just not there. They're not present there for their children.
然后很多的小孩的父母的话呢，都是那种要不然就酗酒啊，要不然就吸毒啊，然后要不然就是那种去赌博啊什么的，然后或者就是要不然父母就根本不在身边的那种状态。
So not only is it the duty of the guru or the teacher or the parents to protect the students and their children, Prabhupada is mentioning here in the purport that it's also the duty of a human to protect the animals.
然后因此的话呢，不仅就是作为灵性导师和作为家长，他们的职责的话呢，就是要去保护自己的孩子和保护自己的学生。而同时的话呢，就在要旨当中，啪啪也提到了，就是人类的职责之一就是要去保护动物。
Yeah, so the animals too are fully dependent or innocent.
所以动物的话呢，也是完全天真无辜的这种状态，完全是依赖于人类的。
I once met a man in Japan who told me about what was life like growing up in a village.
In Japan?
Mm-hmm.
然后我曾经就是在日本的时候有一次就遇到一个人，然后这个人就跟我聊他就是在日本的那个乡村里面长大是怎样的一种状况。
Of course, just like China, Japan, it also snows. It gets very cold in the winter.
然后就像中国一样，日本的话呢，也是一到冬天就特别冷，然后下大雪。
And people live in pretty big houses, but the entrance of the house is called a genkan. You go in the door, and there's a big space there that's earth, and usually the animals live there during the winter. They actually stay in the house.
The entrance of the house, huh?
Yeah, it's very big, but it's dirt, right? There's no stone or anything. It's just dirt. You enter in there, and then you step up, and you go into the house. But there's a big dirt area. It's also enclosed.
Oh, I see. 所以说这个日本人的话，当时就跟我谈到嘛，就是在他们就是日本人住的那个家哈，然后房子都挺大的，在他们房子的入口的地方。然后就会有一个比较大的一个一块地，然后就是它是完全是那种泥土的状态，不是那种水泥地啊，或者是铺了砖的那种地。然后专门的这一块地的话呢，就是日本人民留出来给那些小动物冬天在那儿过冬的。
So this one man, he was telling me how in this area, you know, the front part of the house, they had a cow.
然后这个人就告诉我，在他们家的那个地方的话呢，就是那个门口的位置，然后他们就养了一头奶牛了。
The cow was just
奶牛就真的像是他们的家人一样。
And he was just a small boy, but one day he noticed that the cow was actually crying.
然后而这个跟我聊天的日本人的话呢，他就说这是他童年时候的经历哈，然后他说他小时候有一次，当时他就看到了这头奶牛就在哭。
And then the next day, when he came to see the cow was gone.
而第二天当他再次去看那头奶牛在不在那儿的时候，但是那头奶牛都已经走了。
And he found out that the cow had been sold.And then sent to the slaughterhouse to be killed.
哦，然后后来他才发现，就是这头奶牛是被卖出去了，然后被送到那个屠宰场去宰杀了。
So this man, he said, all of these years, he felt terrible, he felt guilty, he felt so sorry.
嗯，然后因此这个日本这个男的就告诉我，就是他这么多年以来啊，内心一直都觉得非常的抱歉，非常的愧疚，觉得非常的痛苦。
Yeah, and animals also have feelings.
因为动物也是有情感的。
And this cow knew that it was going to be killed and separated from the family.
哦，然后当时那头奶牛他就知道自己要被送走，要被杀死，然后要跟这一家人都分开了。
Yeah, so when we fail to protect those who we are supposed to protect, this is a break of trust, and this is considered very sinful.
哦，然后因此，如果当我们没有成功的去保护到我们应该保护的人、保护的对象的话，那实际上这就是打破了彼此之间的信任，而这种行为是非常罪恶的。
Yes, all relationships, even, you know, not so close relationships, they're all based on trust.
所有种类的人际关系，即便是那些就是你就是跟对方并不是走得很亲近的那些关系的话，它都是基于这个彼此的信任的这个基础之上。
Right. Even personally, I haven't met all of the listeners.
比如说就是我并没有亲自的可能面对面的见过就是大家在做听课的每一位同学。
But we always do our best to have the class on time, don't we?
但是我们总是就是尽自己最大努力能够在同一时间然后跟大家一起上课一起分享。
And you trust that the class is going to start on time.
然后所以说你们也非常信任就是这个课会是在星期六早上准时开始的。
Now, if I would show up, you know, 10 minutes late or 20 minutes late consistently, you might actually stop listening to the class, right?
而如果我要是经常都是比如说不来上课呀，然后或者是晚十分钟或者晚二十分钟上课呀，那很有可能你也就不太见得会相信我会一直给大家这样上课。
Yeah, because you couldn't trust me to be here on time.
因为你都无法信任就是我会准时的在这上课。
So also a trust is a kind of respect. We're showing respect to the people who trust us.
因此you mean the trust is kind of showing respect to the people who
trust us.
Oh,
I mean,
okay.
In other words, you know, we want to tell the truth, we want to be on time, out of respect.
所以说因此我们想要说真话，然后想要就是这个想要就是说表明这个说真话，然后以这样的方式来表达我们的这个信任，而这种信任的话呢，就是在去尊重那些信任我们的人。
And so the Vishnudunas are also pointing out that the mass of people are also kind of innocent like animals.
而 Vishnuduta 也在这个师节当中提到，就是普罗大众的话呢，实际上也是非常天真、非常无辜的，就像动物一样。
Most people are in the modes of ignorance and passion.
对，大多数的人都是处于这个愚昧和激情属性中的。
Yeah, so they don't understand what should be done and what should not be done.
所以他们无法理解就是什么是应该做到的，什么是不应该做到的。
Yeah, so as children, we depend on our parents to show us, the difference between right and wrong.
当我们还是孩子的时候，我们都是完全依赖于父母或者是老师来向我们展示出来什么是对，什么是错。
And the citizens depend upon the government to maintain law and order and execute the laws fairly.
而这个公民的话呢，都是完全依赖于政府，然后来去执行这个法律和秩序，然后并且能够公平的执行法律。
Yeah, so the government is not supposed to just favor one group and not another. They're supposed to be equal.
而政府的话呢，就必须要亲，就不能够说是偏心于其中的一群人，而应该是平等公平的对待每一个人的。
So when one group, you know, could be an individual or a group of people are favored by the leader or by the government, and the other group is not, we call that politics.
然后因此的话呢，当一个人或者是一群人得到了政府、得到了领袖的这样一个偏爱的话，然后而另外的一个人或者是另外的一群人完全就是被忽略掉，那么我们就把这种现象称之为政治。
So, Prabhupada is pointing out in the purport that the government should protect all the citizens and not play politics.
因此帕帕就在要旨当中就指出了，政府就必须要保护所有的这个公民，而不是去玩这个政治游戏。
And then he gave an example of, you know, his life when he was young, of how the government used politics to control the citizens.
然后帕帕也就是提到了这样一个例子，就是当他还年幼的时候，政府是怎么样去运用这个政治来去to use politics to what?
Control the citizens.
是怎样运用政治来去控制普罗大众的。
And it really hurt everyone.
而实际上这种做法真的是伤害到了每个人。
So when Prabhupada was a young man, India was controlled by Great Britain. It was like a British colony.
然后因此我们都知道，就是当帕帕还很年轻的时候，那个时候整个印度还处于英国的殖民统治之下。
And Prabhupada, you know, before he became a devotee, he was a follower of Gandhi.
然后在帕帕成为奉献者之前，他那个时候追随着甘地。
And Gandhi, he started a movement to make India independent from England.
而我们都知道，当时甘地他就发起了这个非暴力不合作的运动，来使得印度能够独立于大英帝国的当时的那个殖民统治嘛。
So Prabhupada is mentioning in the purport how in those days, the British government, they exploited, the Hindu and the Muslim followers.
然后因此帕帕就在要旨当中指出了，就是在当时的那个年代，当时的大英帝国政府是怎么样去剥削了印度教徒和穆斯林教徒。
Yeah, so for hundreds of years, actually, the Muslim and Hindu population, they lived together in peace.
因为有几百年的这个历史，就是在印度历史当中的话呢，这个穆斯林和印度教徒他们是整个这两个团体是和平共处了好几百年的。
Yeah, yes, the Hindus did not disrespect or exploit the Muslims, and the Muslims also didn't try and convert the Hindus to their religion.
就是在当时的这段历史当中的话呢，是印度教徒并没有就是对穆斯林展示出任何一丝一毫的这种不尊重的态度，而同时穆斯林也没有试图要去让这个印度教徒改信他们的穆斯林这个伊斯兰教。
So how did the British government use politics to control the population?
那么大英政府是怎么样去利用政治来去控制大众的呢？
They used the strategy of divide and conquer.
divide and conquer. 所以他们用的这个政策的话呢，就叫做分割和 conquer 是
In other words, they created different reasons for the Hindus and the Muslims to hate each other and to fight each other.
换言之，也就是当时的英国政府制造出了种种理由来让这个印度教徒和穆斯林教徒彼此憎恨。
And so the British government strategy was that if the if the Muslims and the Hindus are busy fighting each other, then they can't fight the British government. They'll be too distracted.
然后所以说因此当时 英国政府他们的策略的话呢，就是如果要是穆斯林和这个印度教徒他们是忙着就是跟彼此作战跟彼此打斗的话，那么他们也就没有、时间没有这个精力来去反对英国政府的统治了。
So in this way the government which was supposed to protect the people was actually causing the people to hurt each other.
然后所以说也就以这样的方式，本来这个政府是应该来去保护老百姓的，但是的话呢，现在政府却成为了这样一个就是罪魁祸首，然后导致了就是百姓普罗大众当中彼此团体之间的这种争斗，然后这种彼此的伤害。
So Prabhupada says, he says this, and this is a very good example of what happens in Kali Yuga.
所以帕帕就说到这就是一个很好的例子来说明就是卡利年代的这个典型形象典型的这样一种状况。
And in the purport, he actually, he quotes a verse from the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is describing, or prophesizing what will happen in the Kali Yuga.
然后所以在这个要旨当中帕帕也引用了瓦坛当中第一篇的一个诗节诗句然后相当于就是描述可以说是预言卡利年代的这个状况。
Let's see, I think it is in the, I think it's in chapter 3. Let's see.Or maybe no, it's chapter 1.It's a Kali Yuga. Oh, yeah. It's a chapter 1, canto 1, verse 10.
Verse 10. 就大家可以看一下就是波迦瓦坛的第一篇第一章的第十诗节。
This is a very famous verse that all the devotees should study and know.
所以这个诗节 1.1.10 是非常出名的一个诗节然后就是所有的奉献者都应该学习都应该知道的这个诗节。
Yeah, so after the class, you should look it up in your Srimad Bhagavatam and read the purport.
就是在课后的话大家可以好好读一下这个 1.1.10 的这个要旨。
Pralyena, Payusha, Sabja, Klau,Asmin Yugejana Manda Yipadrutaha. And so the great sages were saying they were you know, Suta Goswami is speaking to the sages at Namasharanya. They're asking him.To recite Srimad Bhagavatam because Kali Yuga is coming on and nothing else is going to work.
Sutta Goswami, huh?
Yes.
Okay. 所以说在这个梵文诗节的话它的背景就是 Namisharanya 森林当中的圣人们然后再请求 Sutta Goswami 来这个就是念诵这个瓦坛的诗节给他们因为卡利年代即将来临了就是什么事儿什么这个东西都不起作用了。
Yeah, the sages knew that Kali Yuga was coming, so they had gathered together there to have a fire sacrifice, but they couldn't start the fire.
然后所以这些圣人们他们知道卡利年代即将来临他们就聚集在一起要进行这个火祭但是他们却没有办法点燃火。
Yeah, they wanted to ward off the bad effects of Kali Yuga.
然后sorry, Gumar, what is ward off?
Well, they wanted to stop the progress of Kali Yuga. They knew it was coming, and they wanted to stop it if they could, or, you know, minimize the influence.
然后所以这些圣人们他们想通过火祭的话呢来停止这个卡利年代前进的这个脚步然后或者说至少是减弱 减少这个卡利年代的影响吗
？Of course, they didn't use matches or a lighter to start the fire. They had to start it with mantra.
所以说他们都不是用那个火柴或者是打火机，然后把这个祭祀的火给点燃的，他们必须要用那个曼陀罗来点燃火才行。
And previously, Suta Goswami's father was the leader of the sages.
在之前的话呢 ，Suta Goswami 的爸爸就是这个整个这些圣人们的领导。
His name is Ramaharshan.
他的名字叫 Ramaharshan.
And Balaram, he was traveling, avoiding the battle of Kurukshetra because he liked the Pandavas and the Kuru, so he didn't want to fight. So he went on tour. He went on a pilgrimage around India.
而当时主巴拉拉姆的话呢，他是就是在这个印度整个这个地方在就是行走在旅行，然后因为他当时是因为那库鲁之战正在发生嘛，然后主巴拉拉姆他又既喜欢潘达瓦古圣地，然后又喜欢库鲁王朝这一点，所以他两边都不去参与到，所以他就一个人出去溜达。
Yeah, this is described in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam.
而这一块的话呢，就是在瓦坛的第十篇当中描述到了。
So Balaram, he entered the circle of the sages that were gathered there.
当时 Balaram 他就进入到了这个聚集在森林里面的这一群圣人当中这个圈子里面来了。
And so the leader of the great sages, Ramaharshan, when he saw Balaram, he didn't stand up and show him any respect.
而当时就是整个这一群圣人的领袖Ramaharshan, 当他见到主巴拉Ram的时候，他却没有站起来向他表示他的敬意。
Right, the personality of Godhead appears there in front of all the sages, and the leader doesn't stand up to greet him or show him any respect.
然后大家想象一下那个场景哈，就是至尊人跟守神都站在面前了，但是整个这个团体的领导却没有站起来，然后去向人跟守神表达他的敬意。
So Balaram understood immediately, this person's he doesn't deserve to be the leader. He's not qualified.
然后主巴拉Ram立刻就明白了，那这个人实际上他是没有资格去成为这群圣人的领导的，他是不值得有这样的一个头衔，一个称号的。
And so Balaram took a little piece of grass, and he killed Ramaharshan with it.
然后而当时巴拉Ram 他就用了一片小叶子小草，然后就杀死了 Ramaharshan。
And the sages they didn't disagree with what Balaram had done, but now they were in a predicament.
而当时那一群圣人的话呢，他们倒没有去反对。就是巴拉Ram所做的这件事儿，就是杀死了 Ramaharshan， 用一片叶子杀死 Ramaharshan 这件事儿。但是当时他们却处于这样一种困境之中。
They explained that they had given Ramaharshan, you know, they had vowed as Brahmins together to give Ramaharshan a long life so that he could lead the sacrifice.
然后因为当时就是这一群圣人的话，他们就是在婆罗门，就是对婆罗门然后发下了这样一个誓言，就是祈祷能够给予 Ramaharshan 一个很长的寿命，这样的话他就可以一直坚持把这个火祭给做完。
Yeah, so the words of a Brahmin are never supposed to be broken.
而婆罗门所说的话语是永远都不可以被打破的。
So they said to Balaram, now we have a problem here.
然后于是他们就对巴拉Ram说，现在我们这儿有个问题了。
Now our words aren't going to come true because you killed Ramaharshan, and now also we don't have a leader.
So you were saying our words are not going to come true.
Yeah, their word was that Ramaharshan should have a long life, and you've killed Ramaharshan, so that breaks our word.
所以说我们现在就是他们对巴拉Ram就说，我们曾经发下的这些誓言，这个都已经不作数了，因为你把 Ramaharshan 给杀死了，然后所以说我们的这个话语就被打破了。
Right? Brahman's words are always true. If that's not true, then we can't trust them.
所以婆罗门的语言必须是真实的。如果婆罗门所说的话是不真实的话，那么也就没有办法去信任这个婆罗门。于是他们就请求巴拉让给予他们一个解决方法。
Of course, he had the perfect solution.
当然巴拉让也给予他们一个完美的这样一个解决方案。
He replaced Ramaharshan with Ramaharshan's son.
然后所以说巴拉让就用 Ramaharshan 的儿子来取代了 Ramaharshan 的这个位置。
So the son is none different than the father.
而儿子和父亲是没有任何差别的，都是完全一样的。
And so, in this way, Balaram was able to restore the word of the Brahmins.
然后以这样的方式 ，Balaram 也就重新恢复了这个婆罗门当时他们那一群婆罗门所说的话语。
And also, he gave them a new leader.
并且同时的话呢，他也给到了他们一个新的一个领导。
So who is the son of Ramaharshan?
那 Ramaharshan 的儿子是谁呢
？It's Sutta Goswami.
那就是 Sutta Goswami, 对吧
？And the sages, they say, how fortunate we are, because we know that you just heard Srimad Bhagavatam that was spoken by Sukadeva Goswami to Maharaj Prakrit. Sutta Goswami heard Sukadeva Goswami speak the Bhagavatam to Maharaj Prakrit.
Sukadeva Goswami. Okay. Sorry. 所以说当时那群世人就说哎我们真是太幸运了。然后因为现在你来作为我们的这个领袖的话呢你刚刚才从 Sukadeva Goswami 那里聆听到了就是他给帕尔克希特王所讲述的圣典博迦瓦坛的内容呢。
And so the sages are saying, oh, we're so fortunate.
所以这些圣人们就在说我们真是太幸运了。
Because we know that Srimad Bhagavatam, this is meant to bring light to people in the Kali Yuga.
因为我们都知道圣典博迦瓦坛就是相当于把光明带给了卡利年代的人民一样。
So that's the context of this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam that describes Kali Yuga.
所以说我刚才给大家谈到的其实相当于是整个针对这个 1.1.10 这个诗节和要旨当中的整个这个背景介绍就是他们为什么会描述这个卡利年代这个背景就是这样子的。
And so the sages are describing, the effect of Kali Yuga to Sutta Goswami.
所以说这些圣人们就在向 Sutta Goswami 描述这个卡利年代的影响。
They're saying human beings in Kali Yuga have short lives.
所以他们说到就是卡利年代的人类的寿命都很短暂。
They're quarrelsome.
然后他们喜欢吵架，喜欢争斗。
They're spiritually lazy. They don't have any determination.
并且他们在灵性上是非常懒惰的，就灵性上的这种决心不够大。
Right, by yoga practice, we get yoga balena, spiritual strength.
然后通过瑜伽的练习的话呢，我们就能够获得这个瑜伽的这个力量。
That's only if you do it every day without fail.
而你要获得瑜伽的力量，就得每天都得练习，每天都不能停止。
That's very difficult for people in Kali Yuga.
但是这对于卡利年代的人来说真的挺难的。
Therefore, we need a practice that's quite simple.
这就是为什么我们所需要的练习方式是必须要非常简单的才行。
And that is to hear and chant.
那就是去聆听和念诵。
Yeah, calling, let's see, there's Kalair dosha nide rajan asi heko mahanguna kirtana deva krishna sya mukta sangha param raja. This is one of the last verses of Srimad Bhagavatam.
就刚才露露所念的那个就是瓦坛当中最后的几个诗节当中的一个。
Yeah, it says that Kalair dosha Nide Rajan. In the age of Kali, the age of Kali is full of faults.
嗯，而这个世界就说到卡利年代真的是充满了错误。
Dosha is a fault.
嗯 ，dosha 这个词的意思就是错误的意思。
So it's an ocean of faults.
所以说卡利年代就是一整片充满了错误的大海。
Yeah, Kalir Dosha Nide Rajan Asti Eko Mahangunan, but there is one good quality.
嗯，但是的话呢，在这么一大座这个充满错误的海洋当中，却有这样一个优点。
Kirtana Deva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Parambraja by hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord Krishna.
嗯，通过去聆听和念诵主 Krishna 的荣耀。
One can transcend these qualities of Kali Yuga.
那么一个人就能够得以去超越整个卡利年代的所有的品质，所有的特质。
So this verse, you know, this verse of in Canto 1, Chapter 1, verse 10 of Srimad Bhagavatam describes the qualities of Kali Yuga.
嗯，所以说我们刚才提到的这个 1.1.10 的诗节就描述了整个卡利年代的特点。
Right? Men are quarrelsome.
嗯，那么第一个就是人们喜欢争斗，喜欢吵架。
Right now the US government is paralyzed because everyone's fighting.
Yeah, it's shut down, right?
Yeah, it's shut down.
然后所以说 Guru 就说到现在美国政府都已经彻底的那个关门了，确实是这段时间的新闻就是已经完全瘫痪了，就是由于这整个政府里面的各个官员都在吵架嘛，所以大家都不上班了。
And the leaders, they're arguing with each other like little children. It's pathetic.
然后整个那些政府领导们大家就在吵架，就跟小孩一样的，然后你说一嘴我说一嘴的那种，反正挺可悲的。
Even as devotees, you know, we're infected with Kali Yuga. Devotees are also fighting with each other.
嗯，然后即便我们作为奉献者的话呢，也受到这个卡利年代的影响，就彼此吵架嘛。
And lazy and misguided.
嗯，然后非常的懒惰，然后被误导。
And unlucky.
然后并且非常的不幸。
And so the result.Of being quarrelsome and lazy and misguided and unlucky is that one is always disturbed.
嗯，然后而当一个人就是懒惰，喜欢争斗，喜欢吵架，然后被误导，并且很不幸的话，那么其结果就会是心烦意乱，就总是被打扰的那种状态。
Yeah, actually, the biggest disturbance that we experience as human beings.Is when we're identified with the thoughts in our mind.
嗯，实际上我们作为人类所能够遭受到的最大的干扰，那就是我们去认同自己心意当中的念头。
We're always thinking about the past or the future.
我们总是在思考着过去和未来。
Yeah, and we're distracted by devices, by technology.
嗯，而我们总是受到的这种各种科技的这些设备，然后手机啊、电脑啊这些打扰。
Yeah, so we're never satisfied with life right now. We're always thinking, what's next? What's next? What's next?
嗯，所以我们总是没有在当下的这一刻就对生命本身感到满足、感到满意过，然后总是就是被打扰、被分心的那种状态，就是哎呀，接下来这个次第点在哪儿了？接下来这个让我很嗨的这个点在哪儿了
？Yeah, so everyone is addicted to their devices.
就是说每个人都对自己的这个手机啊、对电脑啊，完全是处于那种上瘾的状态。
It's very subtle, but in the mind is thinking, what's next? What's the next email? What's the next thing on WeChat? What's next? What's next? What's next?
嗯，所以这真的是非常精微的，就是在我们的心意当中的话，总是这种潜伏着的这样一种状态，一种念头，就是哎呀，接下来这个我收到的邮件会是什么样子的呢？接下来我这个微信里面的这个短信信息会是什么样子的？接下来是什么什么呢？
And we see young children now.If you take away their device, they go crazy. They can't sit still. They freak out.
就是我们可以看到哈，如果要是我们把小朋友手里面的那些手机啊，或者是那些游戏装备拿来给拿走的话，他们马上就会那种很疯的那种状态，就是完全就是无法就是平静下来的状态。
Yeah, so in this way, most human beings, especially kids, are in a permanent state of distraction.
所以说以这样的方式的话呢，大多数的人类，然后特别是小朋友，就是父母用这种这个手机啊来教育小朋友的这些小孩的话呢，他们就一直是处于这种分心分神被打扰的这种状态。
And so there's always a feeling of dissatisfaction with right now.
因此的话呢，当他们总是处于分心的这种状态的时候，就总是有一种对于当下此刻感到不满意、不满足的情绪和感受在里面。
So this makes self-realization very difficult because self-realization can only occur when you can look within right now.
而这样的一种状态的话，实际上就会使得自我觉悟是变得非常困难的，因为自我觉悟意味着就必须要在当下的此刻来往内看。
When you can look within right now, then you can see you're not the mind.
而如果你能在当下的此刻往内看的话，你就能够发现你并不是你自己的心意。
You discover that you are the awareness that experiences the mind.
而这个时候你才能够得以发现你是去可以旁观着心意的这样一个知觉存在。
And that awareness is connected to the source of awareness.
而你的这个作为知觉的存在的话，是与这个知觉的源头是相连接的。
So it's only there that we experience satisfaction and wholeness and completeness.
而只有当我们能够处于这样的一种状态当中的时候，当我们能够感受到自己和知觉源头的连接的时候，我们才能够得以体验到满足、满意，体验到完整。
And so the sages are saying that everyone in Kali Yuga is lazy, they're disturbed, they're dissatisfied, they're distracted.
所以说圣人们就说到这个卡利年代的人啊，然后都很懒惰，喜欢争斗，然后被误导，非常的不幸。
But if they can hear the kirtan, if they can hear Srimad Bhagavatam, then they become satisfied.
但是如果他们能够聆听这个瓦坛的讲课，如果他们能够聆听 kirtan 的话，那他们就才能够获得真正的满足和满意感。
And then they can begin the journey of awakening.
然后这个时候他们就可以开始觉醒的旅程了。
So Prabhupada is pointing out in the purport that people in Kali Yuga are so unfortunate nowadays.
就是帕帕就在要旨当中指出，就是卡利年代的人们呢，真的是太不幸了。
Yeah, some let's say the word for unlucky is. I forget the Sanskrit word here. Let me look it up again. Do you have it there?
No.
No. Okay.I think it's Sunanda.
Oh, Mandabhagya.
Mandabhagya. Oh, yeah, Bhagya means, Bhagya means luck, fortunate. So, Mandabhagya means unlucky.
Oh, okay. 所以大家可以看到哈，这个1.1.10当中，就是讲到这个不幸这个词的话呢，它的梵文词叫做 Mandabhagya。Bhagya 这个词的意思就是指幸运，然后所以前面加上 Manda 这个字的话呢，就是指不幸的意思了。
Yeah, so if you happen to be born into a country where the government doesn't protect the people and exploits the people, that's Mandabhagya. It's unfortunate.
所以说假如说你要是不幸出生在这样的一个国家，然后这个国家的政府根本就不保护人民，反而是剥削人民，那真的这个状态就是非常的不幸的。
Yeah, right. If you're an animal and your owner doesn't protect you, you're...Mandabhagya.
如果你是一个动物，然后而你的主人并不保护你，那你也就是这种很 Mandabhagya 这种状态。
You have a guru who doesn't follow the religious way of life, then you're Mandabhagya.
而如果你的 guru 你的灵性导师没有去遵循这种宗教原则的话，那你也是处于这种 mandabhagya 的状态。
Yeah. And so, and especially in the purport, Prabhupada is pointing out how it's really important that the governments protect the people and not exploit them.
所以说帕帕就在要旨当中强调这一点，就是重要的是政府就必须保护人民而不是剥削人民。
And the Vishnudutas are saying to the Yamadutas that Ajahnamil, actually he's innocent and you should protect him. You shouldn't be punishing him and bringing him to Yamaraj.
所以说 Vishnudutta 就在对这个 Yamadutta 们就说，这个阿扎米勒实际上是无辜的，然后他应该是受到保护的，你们不应该把他带到阎罗王那里去接受惩罚。
So they're saying as a leader,the leader has to protect the dependent and also show them the right way.
所以他们就说到，这个你们作为这个领导领袖的话，就必须要去保护依赖于你们的人，并且你们的言行举止都要是正确的才行。
So last week's verse was that the leader should show proper behavior.
我们上个星期所谈到的诗节就指出，领导领袖必须要有恰当的言行举止。
And today's verse is that the leader should protect the innocent and show them the proper way.
而今天的这个诗节就说到，领袖就必须要保护那些无辜的人们，就是并且向这些无辜的依赖于他们的人展示出恰当的这个方式。
And that the leader should treat the dependent like children.Should be very friendly and warm-hearted.
You mean the way
the leader should be kind-hearted.
并且的话呢，领袖也必须要非常善良。
Right, so the leader should be very friendly and kind-hearted towards to the innocent.
所以领导就必须要非常友善，非常内心善良的来对待，就是。依赖于他的这些人。
In this way, the students or the children, they'll trust the leader, the parent, and feel protected.
那么以这样的方式，学生和孩子就会去信任，然后他们的老师信任他们的父母，然后他们就能够得到恰当的保护。
Okay, I'll open it up to questions. I saw a question come in from a gender problem.
OK, 我们现在就来看一下这个问题哈，然后看到 Rajendra Prabhu 问的这个问题了，就是说感恩 Prabhu 的启发讲课，问我们跟着圣人去圣地不是为了看到神，而是为了被神看到，对吧？ OK, so he's asking a question that we are following the sages to go to the holy dham is not to see the deities but to be seen by the deities, right?
yes, that was especially Srila Bhakti Siddhanta's teaching to us.
那确实是如此的，就是我们跟着圣人去圣地，不是为了看到神，而是为了被神看到。然后 Guru 就说，这个实际上就是 Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, Saraswati Thakur 他的教导就特别强调这一点。
So his teaching was that.We shouldn't try and see the Lord, or in other words, we shouldn't try and force the Lord to reveal himself. That's the Lord's prerogative.
Also the Lord to try to force the Lord to be seen by us.
Yeah, to show himself, right?
Okay. 所以说他的这个教导的话呢，主要就是在说我们不应该要去强迫神、强迫主来去向我们展示出他本人，而这个是神他自己的意愿，他想什么时候展示给我们就什么时候展示给我们。
So he was trying to teach us the proper attitude of surrender.
因此他实际上是在去教导我们一种恰当的臣服的态度。
And of course, he heard this teaching from his teacher, Gaurakishordas Babaji.
当然他也是从他的灵性导师 Gaurakishordas Babaji 那里聆听到这门教导的。
So he said, he stressed to us that when we're chanting, that we shouldn't artificially try and visualize the Lord or, you know, imagine that we're a gopi in the pastime, you know, serving Radharani or something like that.
嗯 ,OK, 所以说他想强调的一点就是当我们在念诵的时候我们不应该刻意做作的不应该刻意做作的去试图想象 Krishna 就是的这个样子然后不应该试图就是再去想象自己就是 Krishna 的消时光当中的牧牛姑娘啊然后再帮着这个 Radharani 服务啊什么的。
Right, we shouldn't use mental effort or our willpower to try and see Krishna.
嗯，所以我们不应该去想要运用自己的这个意志力，然后或者是运用这个精神上的这种功夫，然后去靠近 Krishna, 去得到 Krishna.
So, Gaurakishore Das Babaji's teaching was this.
嗯，所以说 Gaurakishore Das Babaji 的这个教导就是这样子的。
He said that Krishna...His form and his pastimes and his qualities are fully present in the holy name.
嗯，所以他就说到 Krishna 的形体 Krishna 的品质和 Krishna 的逍遥时光是完全的就是保存在完全的存在于他的圣名当中的。
So he said, one should not try and artificially visualize the Lord.
嗯，因此一个人就不应该去试图刻意做作的去想象视觉上想象这个 Krishna 的样子。
Said, no, you should just try and chant purely.
嗯，他说不，你就应该以这种纯净的状态来念诵就可以了。
And if you can chant the holy name purely,
嗯，而如果你能够纯粹的去念诵圣名的话
，then the first thing that will happen is that you will become purified.Of your material ego.
嗯，那么这个时候会发生的第一件事儿就是你会得以从自己的这个物质的假我当中进化出来。
So the identification with the mind and the body will become erased.
嗯，然后因此的话，这个时候对心意的这种认同和对躯体的认同就会得以被消解掉。
Yeah, so you'll have no more lamentation about the past or worry about the future. You'll be happy now.
嗯，而这个时候你就不会去悲伤过去，也不会渴求未来，你就只是对当下的此刻感到非常开心而已。
He said, from there, you begin to experience, you know, what your spiritual form is.
哦，所以说，就是从这一点开始，你就能够得以开始去体验到，你的这个灵性的躯体是什么样子的了。
Then after you have, after your spiritual form has been revealed to you,
嗯，然后在你的这个灵性躯体被向你揭示出来以后
，then Krishna will reveal his form, his pastimes and qualities in the name.
然后的话呢 ,Krishna 才会通过他的圣名来向你揭示出他的形体揭示出他的品质和他的逍遥时光。
So in the same idea, Bhakti Sanatha said that we shouldn't try and see the Lord, but we should serve the Lord in such a way that he will want to see us.
嗯，所以说这个同样的一种观念哈，同样的一种说法，那也是 Bhakti Siddhanta 他所强调的，就是我们不应该试图去看到主，而我们应该试图去服务主，然后服务他的这种方式使得他被取悦，来愿意向我们展示出来他自己。
So we should chant the name of the Lord with full attention.
因此我们就必须要带着全人的专注来念诵主的圣名。
With reverence.
带着这种敬畏之心来念诵主的圣名
and with love,
并且带着爱来念诵主的圣名
then the Lord will want to see us.
然后的话呢主就会想要来见见我们
and when he wants to see us, then we will see him.
然后因此当主被我们取悦想要见我们的时候我们才能够得以去见到他
not by our mental effort, but by the Lord's sweet will.
嗯，所以说这不会是通，因为我们这个精神上，然后自信上下了功夫，然后主就会向我们展示出来，不是这样子的，而是主他甜美的这个意愿，我们才能够得以见到主。
So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in order to illustrate this teaching, he had a particular routine that he did.
所以说 Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, 然后他为了向我们说明这一个教导，然后他就以一种特定的方式， 来就是做这样的一个每天会做的这样一个事情，对，例行的这样一个程序来说明这一点。
I think all of you have seen pictures of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur.
我想大家应该都见过这个Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur 他的这个照片，然后这个图片，对吧？
His eyesight wasn't very strong, so he wore very thick glasses.
然后他的那个视力不是特别好，所以他就戴的那个眼镜，那个镜片就特别厚嘛。
So he would visit the Jagannath Temple.
所以说他会去拜访加格纳的庙。
And he would stand in the back of the temple near where Lord Chaitanya used to stand, near the Garuda Stambha.
哦。 near where Lord Chaitanya stands.
There's a pillar with Garuda there.
Oh.
And Lord Chaitanya, he used to look at Lord Jagannath from that place.
Oh, there's a pillar of Garuda there.
Yeah, there's a pillar with Garuda on it.
I see. 所以说就是当时的话呢, Bhaktisiddhanta 他会就是 有去拜访主加格纳的庙，然后他所站的那个位置就站在那个庙的后面的话呢，刚好就是原来曾经主柴坦尼亚他会站的那个位置，然后就是去这个见主加格纳的时候，然后那个位置的话呢，就是有根柱子，柱子上就有 Garuda 的那个像。
So it's far away from the deities of Jagannath.
而那个位置的话呢，离那个主加格纳的神像距离挺远的。
So Bhaktisiddhanta would stand there and look at Lord Jagannath, but he would take his glasses off.
然后而Bhaktisiddhanta他就会站在那儿，然后去看着主Jagannath，但这个时候他却会把自己那个厚厚的眼镜片给摘下来。In
this way, he would demonstrate to us his teaching that we shouldn't try and see the Lord, but we should love the Lord in a way that the Lord will want to see us.
所以说以这样的一种方式的话呢，Bhaktisiddhanta他就向我们展示出来，我们不应该试图去见神，而我们应该试图去爱主的这样一种方式，是能够融化主的心，能够融化他，能够感动他，然后让他来愿意见到我们。Alright,
so that's the attitude of surrender.
说这就是臣服的态度。
Yeah, not by my will, Lord, will I see you, but by your will only.
是不是因为我的这个意愿，然后我要怎么怎么样，然后主你就一定要来见我，完全都是主你的意愿，什么时候你想来见我，然后那我就完全的接受，完全的臣服。Thank
you, Rajendra Prabhu, for your question, because this is one of my favorite points.
我很感谢 Rajendra Prabhu 问的这个问题，因为刚才讲到的这一点是我最喜欢的一个点了。Right,
you know, using mental effort, that's very tiring, and to think that we have to do it ourselves, it's actually very scary, but if we just depend upon the Lord, then we can be peaceful and patient.
所以说，因为实际上就是靠我们这个自信上，或者是精神上下功夫，想要去见到神的话，像这个过程是非常令人感到疲倦的，然后是并且也是挺可怕的。但是当我们能够真正的愿意去信任主，然后愿意就是等着主，然后来向我们展示我们的话，那实际上这是非常令人觉得平和的，然后也会给我们很多的耐心。
Right, just be grateful for what the Lord is giving to us now.
所以就完全去感恩当下此刻主给我们的一切。
Right, we have our spiritual master, we have the holy scriptures, we have the holy name, and we have holy association. What more could we want?
所以说我们有我们的灵性导师，有这些经典，然后有这个圣名，然后有这些跟圣人们的联谊，那我们还需要 从主那里得到其他什么的呢?
Well, I see many questions coming in.
Okay, so next one.
Yes, please.
好，我们就来看接下来的问题。Harivansa Prabhu 问的这个问题，卡利年代的本性是懒惰，我们是强硬克服，还是把这种懒惰灵性化，比如是冬季的早起和沐浴。So this Prabhu is asking that, since you were saying that, you know, the Srimad Bhagavatam says that the nature of Kali Yuga is laziness, and is, so should we overcome the laziness with a hard, willpower, you know, toughly overcome the laziness, or should we spiritualize such laziness? For example, getting up early and taking a shower in winter season? funny.
Well, you know, the path of bhakti is called the middle path.
我们都知道，就是这个奉爱瑜伽之途哈，这个被称作叫做中间的这条路。
And in order to perform bhakti, we need to have a soft heart.
而如果我们要能够去进行奉爱修行的话呢，要培养出自己的 bhakti, 就必须要拥有一颗柔软的心灵。
Yeah, so, Rupa Goswami has said that we cannot fanatically follow the rules and regulations.
Rupa Goswami said that, right?
Yeah.
所以 Rupa Goswami 他曾经就说过，就是我们不能够那种很狂热的、很激进的，然后去遵循这个宗教的原则、宗教的这些规矩。
But we can't neglect them either.
但是的话呢，我们也不能够去忽略这些宗教原则和规矩。
So, we should cultivate the mode of goodness.
因此，我们就要培养自己的这种善良属性。
So that means that we should, get up early if it fits in with our Kali Yuga lifestyle.
所以这就意味着就是我们应该早起，当然这个就是如果我们早起的这种生活习惯是能够符合我们卡利年代的生活方式的话。
And we should regularly bathe.
并且我们应该经常的沐浴。
But it doesn't necessarily mean that we have to do severe austerities.
但这并不一定就意味着我们一定要从事非常这个艰苦的苦行。
Because that makes the heart hard and the false ego big.
False ego big. Okay, 因为从事这种艰苦的这种苦行的话呢，就会使得我们的心灵变得非常的坚硬，并且使得我们的假我变得非常的庞大。
Yeah, we cross a line, you know, where we should be acting to please Krishna and please the spiritual master, but we end up thinking we can, you know, force, you know, Krishna to reveal himself by our austerity, like, you know, Hiranyakasipu.
然后我们本意的话呢，是想去取悦主 Krishna， 去取悦灵性导师，但是的话我们却跨越了那条线，相当于就走极端了，走到了另外一个这样一个就是到达一个非常艰苦的这样一个进行苦行的这样一种状态，然后就认为只要我自己这个足够努力，然后苦行做得足够多，那我就能强迫主 Krishna 向我展示揭示出来他自己，就通过我们的这种苦行嘛，这个就像黑人呀卡西普那样子。
Right, so we have to be determined, but we also have to be flexible and practical.
所以我们必须要有这种强大的一种决心，但同时的话呢，我们也要非常的灵活，并且讲究实际。
Yeah, so our priority should be our health.
因此我们的这个首要的这个重要人生大事的话呢，第一个就是照顾好自己的身体健康。
Our sadhana.
然后第二个就是我们的 sadhana.
And service.
然后第三个就是我们的服务。
Yeah, so, getting proper sleep, getting proper food, going to work, that's all part of health.
所以说这个就是有恰当的睡眠时间，然后吃恰当的这个营养丰富的食物，然后完了以后 这个规律的上班，然后这些都是保护身体健康、维持身体健康的方式之一。
So it's more important to get 7 or 8 hours good sleep than it is to get up early in the morning.
所以说的话呢，就是相比起这个早起的话呢，更加重要的就是应该每天睡足7到8个小时的良好的睡眠。
Right, you can only get up early in the morning if you can go to bed early at night.
所以说你只能够在晚上早点上床的时候，然后第二天你才能够早点起床。
Well, that's no problem for me because I'm retired.
所以这对我来说不成问题，因为我都已经退休了。
But in many of these Kali Yuga jobs, people have to work very hard, very long, and sometimes even very late.
但是的话呢，考虑到很多这些卡利年代的这些工作的话哈，就是很多人都不得不长时间的工作，或者非常辛苦的加班加点的这种工作，甚至是晚上很晚才会下班。
Yeah, so try and get to bed the same time, try and get up at the same time, take a bath, doesn't have to be cold, especially, you know, in the winter.
Doesn't have to be cold?
It doesn't have to be cold or ice cold, just take a warm bath if it's the winter time.
所以说的话呢，我们就努力能够在每天晚上同一时间睡觉，然后努力做到每天早上同一时间起床，然后在冬天的时候就洗个热水澡，然后就行了。
Yeah, the real attachment is in the mind.
因为真正的这个依附执念的话呢，都是在我们的心意当中的。
Our biggest addiction is to thinking.
我们最大的这种上瘾的状态就是不断的思考。
Into imagining that we exist separate from Krishna.
然后去想象自己是完全独立于 Krishna 而存在的。
Yeah, so the real detachment is when you no longer believe in your thoughts.
所以说你能做到的真正的不依附、不执着的话，那就是不再去相信你的念头。
Yeah, so take care of the body nicely.
所以说就好好的照顾好躯体。
Clean it, sleep it, feed it.
然后去洁净它，然后喂养它，然后让它好好睡觉。
Just do what's practical.
所以就去做这些很实际的就行了。
Yeah, so the biggest austerity for us, you know, is to just chant 16 rounds.
所以对我们来说，能够做到的最大的这个苦行的话呢，就是每天念诵16圈。
And to follow the 4 regulative principles.
然后并且遵循4项规范原则。
Somehow or other, just do that.
所以无论怎样的话呢，就做到这刚才这2点就行了。
That's the main thing.
所以这是最主要的。
Okay, thank you for that question. I think this may be Hari Vamsa, who was living in Xi'an, I think.
所以 Guru 就问，谢谢这个 Hari Vamsa 帕布的问题哈，可能是不是就是这位 Hari Vamsa 帕布是住在西安的。Okay, so we go on with the next one?
Yes.
Okay, 我们来看下一个问题哈，这个张小丽。奉献者问的问题，顶拜Guru的莲花族在城市里居住在高楼大厦，孩子们没有便利去外面玩，一天到晚惦记着玩游戏。我家两孩子周日、周六日和假期平均每天玩3到4小时。我以前很纠结，但现在的话比较平静。孩子们的天性就是玩，现在受条件限制，所以说打游戏也可以接受。这样的观点对吗
？So this Mataji is saying that you know, they live in the big city, that there is really no nature for the kids to go outside to play around in the nature. So she has 2 kids who just spend all the leisure time basically every day to play games for 3 to 4 hours. I used to be, quite torn about the situation, but now I actually feel peaceful because the nature of the kids is to play.But now because considering of the situation, so I can also accept them playing games. Is such an idea, such an opinion correct or not?
When she says games, she means like video games?
就是当你说到这个游戏的话，你说的是电子游戏、电脑游戏，或者是手机、苹果、手机游戏这些吗？
嗯 ，Let me see.
Gumaraj, Hari Vansa Prabhu says that they actually they do not. He doesn't live in Xi'an. He lives in Jiangxi Province, Nanchang. But his wife was born in Xi'an, somewhere near Xi'an.
Okay, yeah, that's Govinda Nandin, so I know them.
对，比如说想起来了，知道是你们。yeah, it's a computer or laptop games.
Yeah, it's very challenging, I know, for parents nowadays.
我知道确实对于现在的家长来说的话呢，这真的是很挑战的。
And it's very... You know, if the kid isn't playing a game or watching TV, that means the parent actually has to do something with the kid.
So, 如果小孩要是不看电视或者是不玩游戏的话，那就意味着父母就必须要跟着孩子一起做事儿。
And engage their minds, you know, in more, interactive and less motive ignorant ways.
所以这个时候就是当父母必须陪伴孩子的时候，就必须要让孩子的这个头脑去参与到这种更加互动的这样一个状态当中，一种游戏或者是一种状态当中，然后让孩子们去参与到这种没有那么愚昧属性的这些活动当中。
You might have to teach them
Zhang Zhang. I don't think a kid can do that.
Yeah, or other game, you know, games or reading, you know, they have to read a book as a or listen to a podcast, something that engages their imagination, you know, whether because games are totally stimulating and passive, and it just creates this identification with mind and inner dissatisfaction.
Okay. 所以说的话呢，这个时候就是说，如果父母能够让孩子去参与到，比如说像这种，主动能够运用他们想象力，就是积极主动运用其想象力的活动当中，比如说像阅读啊，然后或者是聆听一些这种就是有教育意义的这些录音啊，然后播客啊等等的那种的话哈，然后那么这种可能对孩子才来说是比较有意义的，因为。像电脑游戏、手机游戏的话，那种都是被动的状态，就是让孩子被动的进入到一个完全虚拟的世界当中，而这个时候就会反而使得孩子更加的认同心意，然后更加的就是一直处于一种内心的不满足的这样一种状态当中。
Yeah, it really is an addiction that once they're addicted, it's very difficult to overcome, and it will only get worse.
而且的话呢，这个玩手机电脑游戏的话呢，实际上它是一种很上瘾的一种这个娱乐方式，就一旦真的上瘾是很难克服掉的。
It's the new drug, it's the new intoxication.
所以这是真的一种新型毒品了，然后一种新的一种上瘾，然后麻醉品了。
Because all the adults and all the children are addicted, it seems normal and okay.
因为所有的这些成年人和所有的小孩的话好像都是在这么干，好像都是在处于这种上瘾的状态，然后于是我们都觉得好像这很 OK, 就没问题。
Yeah, so I would encourage her to limit, you know, the games to 1 hour and find other ways for the kids, you know, to engage their minds. At first they may rebel, but they'll get over the addiction eventually.
所以说我就建议你的话呢，能够去限制一下孩子每天玩游戏的时间，比如说就限制他们每天就玩一个小时的游戏，然后剩余的时间的话呢，就请你能够去寻找其他一些方式来让孩子们把他们的这个心意和头脑运用起来，然后那么渐渐的可能最开始他们会很反抗，会很反叛，不愿意，但是渐渐的他们才就能够去克服掉这样一种上瘾的这样一种状态了。
Okay, next.
Okay, next one.
Smoky Radha Mata 提问的问题，感恩帕布的精彩讲课。请问在塔利年代，我们所处的社会是如此的黑白颠倒，人们该如何去寻求真正的保护呢？一个孩子希望接受灵性的知识，渴望灵性的生活，而父亲却要求他去过世俗的物质生活，甚至动用武力。作为奉献者的母亲，该给孩子怎样的保护呢？是不是也只有全人托庇主和专注的念诵才能解决呢？
So I think so Sumukhi Malaji is asking that in Kali Yuga, you know, this yoga is like this, and the black is white and the white is black. Then how can people actually seek the real protection? As you know, when a kid really desires for spiritual knowledge and desires for spiritual life, but the father wants the kid.To live a material life, and even the father uses violence. So, as the mother of the devotee, what kind of protection can she give to the kid? So, is it also to fully depend on the Lord and fully concentrating on the chanting will solve this problem?
Well, it's a very difficult situation for sure.
那你所谈到的这种状况真的是一种非常困难的一种局面哈。
Even in the best circumstances, you can't force a kid, you know, to have a spiritual life.
Oh, but I think she mentioned that the kid wants to accept the spiritual knowledge, wants to have a spiritual life, but the father wants the kid to have a material life.That even use violence.
Well, if the kid wants that, that's great.
Oh, okay.
Then you just have to, you know, quietly cultivate that and set the right example yourself.
Quietly cultivate what?
Well, you don't want to fight with the father or go against the father.
所以说的话呢，作为奉献者的母亲的话呢，当你看到自己的孩子希望接受灵性知识，渴望这个灵性生活的话，那你就可以这种很安静的去培养孩子的这样一种灵性知识和灵性生活方式，然后就不用公开的去跟他的父亲然后做对抗，然后并且你也以身作则，自己就做一个很好的例子来向孩子展示出怎么样来去过上这种灵性的生活。
Yeah, because that will just create more conflict.
因为如果要是这种面向做的话，会引发更多的冲突。
Right, so fan the spark.
所以说你要去给这个孩子不断的煽风点火，点燃他的内心的这个父爱的火苗。
We fan the spark by being loving and devotional ourselves.
但是我们去煽起小孩内心的这种奉爱的火苗的话呢，是通过我们自身充满爱，然后充满了这种奉爱服务之情的这种方式，然后以身作则的这样一种方式来教导孩子的。
Yeah, by being honest and truthful and compassionate and non-violent.
然后我们自己能够展示出诚实，展示出充满同情怜悯，然后谦卑，然后这种非暴力的这样一种状态来影响孩子的。
And then following, you know, our spiritual practice.
并且我们自身能够去遵循这些灵性的这种练习，灵性的修习。
And if the child is old enough and enjoys, you know, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita, that's even better.
而如果孩子这个时候已经有点年长，然后并且这孩子也喜欢聆听瓦坛，聆听这个博加凡哥的讲课的话，那就更好了。
Yeah, so let the father just be the way it's going to be. You can't change it.
所以就允许他的父亲，然后以他那种想去说、想去做的那种方式去做就行了，因为你是无法去控制另一个人的。
What else can you do?
那你其他还能做什么呢？
Okay.
She's asking what does a kid can do?
Well, what is the kid like to do?
所以这个小孩子自己该做什么，这就要看，Guru就说那就看这个小孩子他自己喜欢做什么。
You mean what the little kid can like to do, huh?
Yeah, I mean, how old are they and what are they, if they like, you know, if they like spiritual practice and spiritual life, then encourage them.
所以这叫看小孩子他的年龄多大，然后如果他真的很喜欢灵性生活，然后很喜欢灵性休息的话，那就鼓励他去做就行了。
But also be respectful towards the father and not condescending or opposing.
但同时的话呢，也就保持对这个孩子的父亲的这种尊敬的状态，然后而不是这种只就是站在高处，然后去怎么说呢？就是说你这个人怎么这样啊？然后好像有点看不起对方的那种样子来去跟他说话，同时也不是以这种很反对他的这种方式来对待他。
She's saying that the kid is actually listening to your answer, listening to you.
Are you still there?
Oh, yes, Guru Maharaj. I was just saying that Sumukhi Maharaj was saying that that kid is listening to you.
Oh, really?
And she says that the father just plays on the cell phone every day, and when the father sees the kid doesn't do homework and would just scold the kid.
Well, you know, the parents are always fearful when their kids aren't doing their homework, so it's their obligation to make sure the child does their homework.
所以说顾就说这确实如此，因为父母总是恐惧孩子不做家庭作业，所以这是他们的那个职责，就必须要去告诉自己的孩子要完成家庭作业。
I think the most important thing with kids is just to set the example yourself.
所以说对于孩子来说最重要的一点就是自己父母自己要以身作则，就是做出一个良好的一个表率。
Yeah, and so if they're volunteer, or if they're curious about God or curious about what you're doing, then you can have a conversation with them, but never expecting them to do it.
所以说如果一个孩子对于这个对于灵性知识对于神是很好奇的话，那么这个时候你就可以去跟他们谈论这些方面的知识，谈论这些方面的话题，但是永远都不要去期望孩子能够如你所期望的那样成为这种奉献者啊等等的，然后以这样的方式来对待他们。
Yeah, so in this way you can teach them Bhagavad Gita on their level.
那么以这样的方式你就可以以他们的这个水平来教导他们博家梵歌了。
Yeah, or if they want to join you when you're having kirtan, then include them, encourage.
如果孩子想要加入到你的这个 kirtan 的话呢，那就去欢迎他加入就行。
So if a child shows some interest voluntarily, spontaneously, you cultivate that, but you never expect it or force it.
所以说如果一个孩子要是很自发的这种主动的表现出对这个灵性知识的好奇的话，然后感兴趣，那么你就去鼓励他们，然后帮助他，但却从来都不要去期望他，然后从来也不要去强迫他。Yeah, I think Sumukhi Maharaj is talking about her situation. She says that it's very difficult. It feels like she has two kids, so like you know, the husband is also a kid. So every day she's playing the mediator between those two.
Yeah, I'm sure it's very difficult. And also the same goes with, you know, a relative or a husband or a wife. We can't force them to be Krishna conscious. We have to respect, you know, their free will.
所以说这确实是一种很困难的一种局面，就是对于我们身边的这个很亲密的人的话哈，不管是丈夫妻子还是父母还是孩子，那么我们都是没有办法能够强迫对方去成为 Krishna 的奉献者的，都必须要去尊敬他们的这个自由意志。
We have to be very careful not to make them feel like we're trying to be better than they are.
并且我们要非常的小心，要注意到就是不要让他们觉得好像我们是努力试图要让自己看上去比他们就是更好那种样子。
That will just increase their opposition.
因为当我们这样去做的时候，只会导致他们会更加反对，更加反感。
That's why Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that it's an offense to give this knowledge to anyone who's not, you know, ready for it.
所以这就是为什么 Krishna 在薄伽梵歌当中说到，如果要是把这门知识给予那些还没有做好准备的人的话，这实际上就是一种冒犯了。
Because we actually damage that person. We make it more difficult for them to accept the Lord.
因为这实际上当我们在对方都还没有做好准备就去给人家传教，就去给人家宣传这些知识的话呢，这反而就是伤害了这个人，反而是使得这个人内心对 Krishna 生发出更多的这种厌恶感，然后完全就毁灭了他靠近 Krishna 的这种意愿了。
So the best thing we can do for others, you know, is to be just be Krishna conscious ourselves.
因此我们能够为别人所做的最棒的一件事情，那就是我们自身能够真正的培养出 Krishna 知觉。Okay.
Okay.
Next one. 我们来看下一个问题。有一个奉献者问的问题。顶拜老师，既然 Krishna 把一切都安排好了，为什么 Krishna 鼓励人们思考，鼓励人们奋斗？So this person is asking that, since Krishna has arranged everything good enough, then why does Krishna still encourage people to think, encourage people to fight, and encourage people to strive for something?
Well,Krishna, he has given us free will.
Krishna 给予了我们每个人自由意志。
So we're just like little children learning to use our minds and our bodies properly.
而我们就像小孩一样正在学习怎么样恰当的去运用自己的心意，恰当的去运用自己的头脑和躯体。
We're like little children learning to walk.
这就有点像是小孩子在学会怎么走路一样。
Yeah, so we make attempts to stand and then we fall.
所以说在小朋友在学习走路的时候，就是刚刚站起来走了一会儿，然后不小心一下就摔倒了。
But that's how we become strong and learn to walk.
但是这就是我们开始让自己强大起来，然后开始让自己真正能学会走路的这样一个过程。
Yeah, so when we enter the human form of life, we're very selfish and animalistic.
If we enter life,
human life, we're very selfish and animalistic.
因此当我们进入人体生命的时候，我们是非常自私，非常就像动物一样的。
And we see everyone as separate from us and exploitable.
我们会看到每个人跟我们都是相隔绝、相分开的，所以说每个人都是我们值得去剥削、值得去压迫、值得去利用的对象。
So it's a long evolution of consciousness.
因此，这是一个很漫长的知觉意识进化的一个过程。
So you know, it takes lifetimes of development.
所以真的是要花上好几倍身世，好多身世的这样一个时间，然后才能够使得一个个体灵魂的知觉得以逐渐进化。
And so like Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita in chapter 4, verse 35.
Krishna 在薄伽梵歌第四章的第35诗节就说到。
He said, when you finally realize the truth,
他说当你最后终于得以去觉悟到真理的时候，
You won't fall into illusion anymore.
你就不会再堕入到虚幻幻觉之中。
And you'll see that all living beings are part of me.
然后这知识就会使得你看到一切生物都是至尊的部分。
Yeah, so at that point, we will utilize our free will properly.
就在那一刻的时候，我们才能够恰当的去运用自己的自由意志。
Because ultimately the lesson we're learning is that whatever harm, we cause to another, ultimately we're just doing to ourselves.
因为最终我们要学到的这样一个课题，或者是我们要领悟到的一个教训，那就是我们
对其他任何一个生物体所制造出来的痛苦伤害，那么最终实际上都是我们给自己自身所制造出来的痛苦和伤害。
Yeah, so we're one and different.
所以说我们所有的这些生物体都是同一记忆的。
We're all equal parts of the Lord.
我们所有人都是 Krishna 的平等的一部分。
And so we're, you know, we're in the process of learning that, and we misuse our free will most of the time at this stage.
而我们正处在这样一个学习的这样一个过程当中，然后就是学习去领悟到这个最终的这个教训，最终的这个课题的过程当中，而很多时候我们都滥用自己的自由意志。
But by the arrangement of the Lord, it's perfect because we learn that our thoughts.And our words and our actions have consequences.
但是那么这一切都是被主很好的安排了的，因为就是在主的这些完美的安排之下，我们就能够逐渐领悟到我们的思想、我们的言语和我们的行动都是会带来结果的。
So gradually we learn that before, you know, that, our thinking and our speech and our behavior, you know, we're learned to act consciously.
那么渐渐的我们就能够逐渐觉悟到这一点，那就是在我们想要去生发出一个念头，或者是想要去说一句话，或者是想要去做一件事情之前的时候，我们能够首先有那么一刻能够有充足的觉知来觉知到这些有充足的觉知，然后再来去说话，再来去思考，再来去行动。
Yeah, so we learn that if we ignore that everyone is part and parcel of the Lord, there's consequences.
所以说如果我们，那么我们就会去觉悟到，如果我们去忽略了另外一个生物体也是属于 Krishna 的一部分的话，那么这样的一种忽略就会制造出某一种后果。
Yeah, so in this way, we learn how to make proper choices, correct choices.
那么以这样的方式的话呢，我们就能够sorry, Guru Maharaj, you are saying in this way we learn
the proper use of our free will.
那么以这样的方式的话，我们就能学会如何恰当的运用自己的自由意志。
That we don't exist independent of the Lord, and nobody is.
我们没有独立于 Krishna 而存在。并且任何一个生物体也没有独立于 Krishna 而存在。
So it's a process that we have to look at the big picture.
所以说这就是一个过程，而我们要看到一个更大的一个图景，更大的一个画面。
Okay,
next one. 我们来看下一个问题。Radha Nanda 这位奉献者问的问题，深深的顶拜敬爱的 Guru Dev， 请问如何让一位母亲走出女儿死于车祸的悲伤呢？ So this Radhananda Mataji is asking, she's saying that humbly offer her obeisance unto you, and she wants to know that how to let a mother be free from the grief of the daughter dying from the daughter's death of the car accident.
Oh. Well, we have to go through the stages of grief. We can't, there is no quick fix.
Okay. 所以说的话呢，这个就是，对于这样的一位母亲的话呢，她就必须要经历这个悲伤的阶段，然后，这个当中是没有一个快速的解决方法的。
So basically, we have to allow ourselves to grieve.
所以基本上来说，我们就必须要允许自己悲伤。
You know, when we feel sad or we feel angry.
Yes.
Or we, so one of the first stages of grief, the first stage is that we can't believe it.
Okay, first stage is that we cannot even believe that this
person's gone, that this actually happened. This is called denial.
Okay, got it. 然后所以说悲伤的第一个阶段的话呢，就是这个叫做一种否认的一种阶段，就是我们完全无法相信，完全不能相信，就是自己最爱的一个人就死去了，然后完全不能接受这样一个事实。
The next stage is anger and sadness.
而下一个阶段的话呢，就是愤怒和悲伤。
You know, so one moment you may be feeling like, this can't be happening. It didn't really happen, did it?
然后所以说有这样一个时刻，一个片刻，你可能会觉得这个不可能发生，然后不可能发生的。
And then there's deep sadness.
然后这个时候接下来就会出现这种深刻的这种悲伤。
There's anger.
然后还有愤怒。
You know, even at your daughter, maybe. Why did you leave?
然后甚至是这种愤怒还会导向给他的女儿，就是导向给自己所爱的人，就是你为什么会离开我？
Anger at the other people in the traffic accident.
然后并且去愤怒这个可能其他也是牵涉到这个车祸当中的这些其他人。
Anger at God.
然后并且对神也会有这种愤怒感。
How did Krishna let this happen? I'm his devotee.
为什么 Krishna 会允许这样的事情发生呢？我可是他的奉献者呀。
Yeah, so this you may go back and forth. I can't believe it. Oh, I'm angry. Oh, I'm sad.
然后所以说刚才提到的这些状态的话呢，可能就会反反复复的，然后突然间就是那种自己都无法接受的这样一种状态，然后下一片刻的话可能就是非常愤怒的这样一种状态，然后接着又会进入到这种就是很悲伤的这种状态。
And then there's bargaining.
然后的话呢，就是讨价还价的这样一种状态。
If I would have just done this,
如果我要是当时是这样做的话
，or if she hadn't have gone out that day,
如果我女儿要是那天没有出门的话
，this wouldn't have happened.
那么这件事根本也就不会发生。
Or maybe I can chant in such a way she'll come back.
然后或者是我会以这样的方式来念诵，那么我的女儿就会再次回来。
All of these different kinds of thoughts will come.
然后说这种类型的所有这种类型的念头然后就会出现。
So we have to allow ourselves to feel the pain of the grief, the doubt, the anger, the sadness.
因此我们就必须要允许自己去感受所有的这些痛苦，所有的这些悲伤，所有的这些疑惑，然后愤怒，还有悲伤。
So normally we would try and escape that.
因为在大多数情况下我们都会努力的让自己逃避这样的一些情绪。
Yeah, but these feelings come like waves.
但是这些情绪就像波浪海浪一样的突然间就涌现出来。
And they're beyond our control.
而这些情绪超越了我们的掌控的。
So the more present you can be,When the waves come, and the more you can allow yourself to endure it and to feel it, then the quicker you'll heal.
所以说如果你能够有越多的这种临在当下的状态的话，那么这种临在当下的知觉，那么这个时候当海浪，当这些情绪的波浪袭来的时候，你就能够越多的允许自己去感受它们，然后也就能够越快的让自己得以恢复过来。
So when you can come to accept that your daughter's died and you don't resist it anymore,
所以说当你能够逐渐去接受这样一个女儿已经去世的这样一个事实，然后不再去否认这个事实。
It doesn't mean that you're not going to still miss her or not feel sad sometimes.
但这并不意味着就是在某些时刻你就不会悲伤，然后并不意味着你就不会去想念他。
But it means you've come to accept and you're not resisting like you are now.
You're not resisting.
Yeah, not resisting what happened like you are now.
Okay. 然后所以说当你接受你的女儿已经去世的这样一个事实的话呢，它仅仅是意味着你已经不再去抵触这样的一个发生的一个事情。然后就像你现在这样这种还是处于一种抵触的这样一种状态。
Yeah, when we resist what is, we suffer. That's the cause of suffering, ultimately.
所以当我们去抵触已经发生的这种事情的时候，这才是导致我们受苦的根本原因。从最终来看的话呢，我们的抵抗抵触就是导致我们受苦的根因。
So it's helpful to know what the steps of grief are and to allow yourself to go through those steps over and over until you come to acceptance.
所以说的话呢，就是当你知晓这个悲伤的这些步骤有哪些的时候，然后你知然后你一遍又一遍的去经历这些悲伤的各个阶段，然后这对你来说是会很有注意的，然后直到最终的话呢，你能去接受接纳这个现实。
It's important not to try and escape the pain, but to allow yourself to feel it.
所以重要的一点就是不要去逃避痛苦，而是允许自己去感受这痛苦。
And then to go on with your life and with your practice.
然后再继续的去继续过你的人生，然后继续你的灵性生活。
So I wish you well.
其实我祝你好。
Okay.
Next one. I think one more.
Okay, is there still more?
Let me see. Three more. Yeah.
Three more. I think I'm probably going to have to wait till next week.
Oh, okay.Okay, 所以说剩下的三个问题的话呢，可能得大家请等到大家下个星期才给你们解答了。
There are so many questions. I like that.
但是的话，我看到有这么多问题，我真的好满足，好开心呢。
And these questions are helpful for everyone.
因为这些问题对每个人来说都是很有助益的。
So, next week we'll answer...The three remaining questions.
所以说下星期我们就一起来回答剩下的这三个问题哈。
And okay. So thank you very much. I thank all the listeners today and Sumukhi Radha for facilitating. Of course, you Narayani Devi Dasi for translating.
所以说我感谢今天来聆听的各位奉献者，然后感谢 Sumukhi Madaji 的这个安排。
And all glories to Prabhupada and Srimad Bhagavatam. I'll talk to you next week. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Talk to you next week. Oh, tomorrow. Tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay.
Same time, same station.
谢谢感谢大家的聆听哈，今天的讲课就到此结束了。Hare Krishna. 愿大家有美好的知觉的一天。